Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The topic of runaway public corruption and the authoritarian government of Venezuela directly impacts us here in Texas. Many of the migrants turning up on the southern border are fleeing that grinding poverty in the brutal dictatorship of Venezuela's President Maduro. And so there is a cause and effect, and we're feeling that effect here. There was no mass exodus when Venezuela was a very prosperous nation, but today it is a nation in crisis. And explaining part of why that is are reporters like Roberto Denise of Armando Info. He uncovered a Venezuelan corruption scandal that rocked the world, including the United States. And that story is told in a new Frontline documentary, A Dangerous Assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. It airs tonight on PBS KLRN San Antonio at 9 p.m. We're joined by the director of the documentary, A Dangerous Assignment, that would be Juan Ravel. And Juan, welcome to The Source.
How are you? Thank you very much for having me.
So Juan, tell me about this platform that the reporter Roberto Denise is using. What is Armando Info?
Armando Info is the only site in Venezuela that is dedicated to working on investigative journalism. They don't cover breaking news. They don't cover current events. They publish once a week a deep investigation into things related to corruption in Venezuela, to the environment, human rights causes, abuse of the police force, etc. So they're the only site in Venezuela that focuses only on investigative reporting.
And this is independent, publicly funded journalism. People donate money to it. That's how it's funded.
Yeah, it's by people and also donations from organizations that support journalism.
And so when you have a reporter like Roberto Denise digging into this, these weird things that are going on with the Venezuelan government, and he's picking away at these things, trying to figure out like what's happening. He's taking on President Maduro, who's one of the most entrenched dictators, strongmen in the world. He is poking a fight with somebody, with a bear. So that takes a lot of courage, I imagine.
I'm so sorry, I lost you for a second.
Yeah, so how Roberto Denise is able to take on Maduro is quite a task.
Yeah. He's been investigating. They have been investigating from 2014, the corrupt dealings around the Maduro government. But it's in 2016 that they find something quite big, is that Alex Saab was behind the food imports to Venezuela in the middle of a almost humanitarian crisis, a very deep food crisis. There was scarcity. There was access was limited. And the government decided to import food from abroad to help the people of Venezuela, which sounds like a noble cause, and it's okay. But the thing is that Alex Saab was importing subpar products, milk that wasn't milk, that was hazardous to people's health, and they also were importing it with massive overcharging. They were charging two times what the actual cost was. So they were importing subpar products while benefiting financially.
Yeah, so we're going to get to all that. So yeah. Maduro was mismanaging the economy. The economy had hyperinflation. People were starving. He actually, he was weaponizing this food, that deliveries that he was doing, this CLAP program, only really providing it to certain neighborhoods that were strong Maduro supporters. But in these boxes that they were giving, these like food pantry boxes, you're telling us that the products that the government was providing was not only just subpar food, but some of it was hazardous to consume. Is that right?
Yes. And that's why they found out. They published, and they also published who was behind these food imports. And by publishing this, just after this, they had a lawsuit from Alex Saab, the man behind these imports. And getting a lawsuit for defamation in Venezuela is not the same as the U.S. In Venezuela, if you get a lawsuit from defamation, and if it's from someone who is connected to power, you can get criminal charges. So you might end up in jail. So when they were charged, the Armando Info team, the editors, and Roberto Dennis, who's the subject or narrator in the documentary, when he gets the lawsuit, they decide to leave Venezuela but continue the investigation. So the film also follows the investigation, not only in Venezuela, but an investigation from exile, which is another form of journalism that is very present in the film.
Right, so he's in Colombia. Is the entire Armando Info team now in exile? Because I imagine all of them would be at risk.
Yes, not all are outside. But the editors who were in the lawsuit had to flee, yes.
And so, but even when he's in Colombia, he's still probably at risk. There's, you know, it's not that far from Venezuela. There are neighboring countries. And, you know, how hard would it be for someone like Maduro to try to, you know, do something to him? I imagine it would, you know, be not difficult at all.
Yes. It would have to be a rule operation, because from our understanding, the Colombian government is not interested in persecuting or arresting and extraditing Roberto to Venezuela. But what does happen is that they pressure family members in Venezuela. For example, we have a scene in the film where you see Roberto's house. You see it from the point of view of Roberto in Bogota, but we're in the moment where his house in Caracas is raided by Venezuelan authorities, and in his house is his father and his brother. So there's ways that the government can pressure you, even if you're outside the country.
And they were trying to silence him.
Totally, yeah, that's the intention. And they don't understand what journalism is. They just think that using these tactics might work, might make him stop investigating. But the case just grew and grew to reach great heights and an international corruption scandal that reaches Russia, Turkey, Hong Kong. It's quite a thing.
Became a global scandal. Even the United States had to sit up and take notice. We're taking a break. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about what's going on in Venezuela, the government, the corruption, the brutal oppression, what the United States involvement is there, give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we're discussing a dangerous assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. It airs tonight on PBS on Frontline. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Venezuela's government faces strong accusations of widespread corruption, and this is exemplified in the Alex Saab case. Reporters have shown the embezzlement of state funds and rigged contracts by the administration of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. So there is also widespread oppression that takes on the form of just brutality in the streets of anyone who would protest the government. Excessive force against protesters, violence plagues the nation with high crime rate, and the mismanagement of the nation's economy has led to hyperinflation and a shortage of basic necessities. But people on the inside of the Maduro government, they live the high life. They have yachts in the bay off the coast of Venezuela, and people who try to expose them are risking their life. We're going to hear about that tonight on the Frontline documentary, A Dangerous Assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. We're joined by Juan Ravel. He is the director of the documentary. Juan, so you're Venezuelan, right? Juan, you're from Venezuela? Did we lose the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I am.
So when did you leave? What was life like for you there?
I left Venezuela in 2016. Maybe because of security reasons. When I was in Venezuela, I ran a spherical comedy site. So you can imagine doing terror. Politics in southern Venezuela is not the best. In 2016, I took.
Right, so you were similarly picking apart at the government. You were trying to show how corrupt it was and the farce that they would present. So this satirical website that you would produce. And so then you found yourself also having to flee the country. Was that a difficult decision for you to do?
It's always a difficult decision, especially because when you leave your country, you lie to yourself saying that, oh, I'm going to be back in a couple of years. This might get better in a couple of years. The time is why you realize that. So I think the hardest thing is not being able to come back with family members and enjoy your country, you know? Well, it's hard. But in the U.S., we have found refuge and work, and we are at
all right. Let me get a caller in on this. The number is 833-877-8255, and we have Juan. And Juan, you're on the air. Juan, the caller? Can you hear me, Juan? All right. So apparently his phone line is not working too well. So back to Juan Ravel, the documentary director, A Dangerous Assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. So this must have been a really tough, you know, production for Frontline to produce, because the majority of this documentary is in Spanish with subtitles. You can follow along by reading if you don't understand Spanish. But still, it's kind of a difficult lift, I would think, to say, well, how do we explain this? How do we make this relevant? How do we get people who don't understand the situation to buy into this documentary? Was that part, you know, was that a conversation that was had, Juan?
Yes. Well, there are some voices in English that help you guide you and explain the position of the U.S. case, because, as you know, Alex Saab ended up he's now in Venezuela, but before that, he was in a jail in Miami. So there's a connection to the U.S. in the sense that the U.S. didn't prosecute it. He got arrested, and he was about to play trial before he was swapped back to Venezuela. And I'd say there's the perspective of that connection to the U.S. But also, I think a major point you made in your intro, you see Venezuelan migrants walking the border in the U.S., ask yourself, why are those people there? And I could say one of the questions, one of the answers is that the corruption in Venezuela has really, really hurt the country. And the corruption is there because the government is still there, although it's not very popular. So by watching the story, you can understand the behind the scenes of the operations of the Maduro regime. You're also watching a great investigation, almost a place almost as a detective story, but in a way you're also learning how the Maduro government works, how you support corrupt do their bidding politically, to find money. So it's an inside look into the crisis. Well,
yeah, for a reporter working in an environment where there are no open records laws, you have no access to public documentation, public information that doesn't exist at all, and we're going to, so as I can imagine, doing this reporting is a lot tougher than what we would have to do, in the countries where we have access to public information. And so we need to acknowledge the fact that when Roberto Denis, the investigative reporter with that independent media outlet, Armando.info, uncovers this multi-million dollar aid scandal in Venezuela, that he was able to do this, but also at a great personal and professional risk to be able to get the story and then publish it. So, it's just astonishing to me as a reporter seeing how he was able to do this just by with leaked documents and deep sources. So that's incredible.
Yes, these things happen when you're a reporter on a beat and people start to recognize that that's your beat, information starts flowing towards you, And that's the way I think it worked with Roberto. People recognize him, and he just, with every story he wrote, he got access to more sources. So in a way, being public and being harassed also has this other side that makes the reporter more well-known, It's an upside. We'd rather be in a country where you report something and you don't get a loss that might put you to jail, but that's the environment that we're working on.
Right, and so this whole story, I'm watching the documentary and I'm wondering, the elevation of, Alex Saab. So he's the target of the investigation. He is the bag man for Maduro, as is explained in the documentary. He is the person that conducted all these business deals, and then he had to give kickbacks, big lucrative kickbacks to Maduro. But he also, made a lot of money himself. He's no humanitarian because he was providing tainted food for people who were in crisis. But being able to tell that story and get to him, and telling a story on frontline now makes it even a bigger story.
Yes. Well, the frontline trailer, when it aired, it has created a backlash already. The Venezuelan government has created new accusations against Armando Info and against its editor, Evo Schaffenberg, and Roberto Denis, the reporter. So it seems like they are aware of this. It seems like they're worried, and they are attacking. So they're well aware of this. And we have been doing this documentary for 3 years, and Frontline joined at the latter part of the film, helped us finish it, helped us editorially publish it, and get it to a good destination. So we're very happy to have Frontline's back in this opportunity.
And then their platform and getting it out there, publicizing the activity and the sacrifices that journalists there are making. Let's go to a caller. We do have Arturo. Arturo, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. And, well, I'll try to land this question as concisely as possible. And Juan, thank you very much for, this very important. What is the expectation of Venezuelans who oppose the Maduro regime? What is their expectation about the role of the United States in the future, considering the history of the United States in the region, and also considering in the future involvement for governments that are suffering from corruption in the region as well? So thank you very much, and I'll take the response over there. I really appreciate you guys.
Arturo, thank you for your call. So Juan Ravel?
Yeah, well, it's a hard question to answer because I'm not a representative of every Venezuelan, and I don't have insight of what everybody thinks. But I think there's many opinions. There are people who favor a harder line, like the pressure that the Trump administration applied. There are people who think that sanctions is a way of getting Maduro in line in order to get free and fair elections. And there are other people that actually think that fewer sanctions and more open relationship might lead the way to democratic change. So I think there's both avenues. I wouldn't say which one is more popular. In exile, probably the first one, the more direct sanction and elevate the cost. But yes, it's a tough relationship to manage. But I'm not to say exactly what the people think.
Well, looking at it from probably from like the point of view from the State Department, Foggy Bottom, the United States is looking at lots of international situations. Of course, what's going on with Israel and Gaza, and then also what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, and then with China. These are the biggest issues that's occupying what's happening, the big meetings. And as far as Venezuela goes, I would imagine that the United States just would be happy just to keep a lid on it and try and hopefully not get directly involved because of the history of U.S. involvement in South America, Central America is not good. And every time the United States tries to put a squeeze on Venezuela, Maduro uses that as proof that everything that's bad that's happening in the country is our fault, is America's fault.
Yeah, I believe the role America has played in the last few months is also through diplomacy, through other countries like Colombia and Brazil that are closer to Venezuela and Maduro, and maybe that's one of the avenues that we have seen them operating. But it's too early to tell if that strategy is going to work. Going back to the documentary, the electoral situation is also connected to the film because in the deal in which Alex Saab was sent back to Venezuela and the Americans detained in Venezuela were sent to the U.S., part of the deal, according to President Biden, it's a path to free and fair elections in Venezuela. So by giving Alex Saab back to Maduro, it seems like there's an implied promise about elections. That we have to wait to see if that actually happens. It hasn't been resolved.
Well, if there were free and fair elections, would Maduro be able to survive that?
Well, that's the thing. We enter into speculation. But it's at least he has the person that he benefited the most in his business dealings. So we'll have to see. Maybe he got what he wanted and then he doesn't comply. That's a thing that Roberto Flores, our character or main character in the documentary, Roberto Flores, the idea that there doesn't seem to be a connection between free and fair elections and Alex Saab being released because you released him before the election. So
right.
What guarantees do you have?
Exactly. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment about the state of Venezuela, U.S. Relations, free press in Venezuela, this documentary that airs tonight, A Dangerous Assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues right after this break.
The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th, bringing together all sides with one important mission, protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Tonight on PBS, Frontline airs its new documentary, A Dangerous Assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. Roberto Denise is an investigative reporter with the independent media outlet Amando Info. He unveils, he reveals, uncovers the story of Alex Saab. He's a Colombian businessman. He becomes a focal point of tension between the United States and Venezuela. He's a close associate of Maduro, the Venezuelan president. Saab's company allegedly secured lucrative contracts to supply food and other goods to Venezuela. However, the U.S. accused him of being part of a vast corruption scheme. The U.S. Department of Justice charged Saab with 8 counts of money laundering, alleged that he and his partner siphoned off over $350 million from the Venezuelan government, and they claimed that he used a web of shell companies to funnel money into accounts worldwide. Additionally, Saab faced accusations of falsifying documents to win contracts for affordable housing projects. And, you know, the United States was able to get Saab. They were able to find him and arrest him on international charges when he was at the Cape Verde in Africa. And that sparked international outrage and also from Venezuela, people who said that this was a kidnapping. But it's a vast story. It's incredible. It's very fascinating. We're joined by Juan Ravel. He is the documentary director for the A Dangerous Assignment, Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. So Juan, you know, you told us earlier that when Roberto Denise first revealed that Saab was behind the selling of the CLAP program, the food program, that he denied it. And he sued Denise over that denial, which could have led to his imprisonment and made him flee the country. But then after Saab was captured by the United States government and arrested on these charges, suddenly the government changed their story. What did they say about Saab after he was in U.S. custody, or he was in custody in the African country of Cape Verde?
Yeah. Before his arrest, Alex Saab operated in the shadows. He was someone who was known by journalists and by people following closely Venezuelan politics, but he was not on TV. He was not a known figure. And after his arrest, Nicolas Maduro threw a wave of support to his favorite contractor in a way that we have never seen in Venezuela. He named him ambassador. He actually said that he was an ambassador on a diplomatic mission. That's something that we've never heard. But that was the main argument they did for him to be released, right? They even produced fake documents to say that he was a diplomat. So it's very telling on the way that Maduro operates. But still, being a supposed diplomat, according to Maduro, the Constitutional Court in Cape Verde decided to extradite him. They spent a lot of resources in very high-end lawyers to try to avoid that. But eventually, Saab ended in a Miami prison facing charges for corruption.
Right. He was in pretrial detention. He hadn't been convicted of anything. But also, so this is interesting that suddenly the Maduro government say he's a diplomat. He's not a businessman. He's not profiting from all of this, even though there are documents that show that that's exactly what he was. And that and they go on a very aggressive social media campaign trying to present him as a humanitarian, someone who was doing things for the good of Venezuela because he loved Venezuela so much. That's what Maduro would say in his speeches. And he gave a lot of speeches about Saab, saying what a great person he was. And then we saw some people, you know, I guess believed it. They fell for it. We saw protest here in the United States, including groups like Code Pink. Lots of people who are anti-war protesters joining this crusade, saying that the United States is imperialism is picking on Venezuela and they have kidnapped Saab. They made a very, you know, it seemed like they had bought this line from the Maduro government that Saab was the victim. So what do you make of that, the fact that you know, this use of social media, Juan, could have such a huge impact.
Yeah, well, they pressured Roberto into stop reporting. Also, the social media attacks have an effect on mental health of people. It's like the constant harassment has an effect. But that doesn't stop Roberto from keeping on his reporting. That's something that we show in the film. And it's also a tactic that the Venezuelan government uses to scare people from reporting on touchy subjects. We have information that some of these attacks were sponsored by the Venezuelan government. It's not just people who follow. There's no originary movement of people like trying to defend that. This is state backed, you know?
These protests are staged. They had protests in Times Square. They had protests in Austin in favor of Alex Saab. So they're able to use social media to present this alternative reality. And there are people who will buy into that because it fits their worldview that the United States is bad.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that outside Venezuela, that is Venezuelan state back. I would have to correct that. But exactly, when you see a narrative that fits your ideology, then some other people outside Venezuela start joining in. You know, if your enemy is the U.S. government and U.S. imperialism, and you hear about this campaign, then you might join. We have people like Roger Waters in the documentary showing his support for Alex Saab. So we don't know if he was part of the campaign or it was in the tactics, but we do know that he got the message and he spread.
Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. And he's also been vocal in support of other extreme positions that would cause someone to question his ability to process logic. So Alex Saab, since this whole thing, since he got back to Venezuela, has he, I saw just today scrolling on social media that he is being trotted out as if he is an actual diplomat.
Yeah, he has some sort of new role where he's conducting business and creating opportunities to do business in Venezuela with foreign governments or foreign entities. So they basically gave him a role, an official role, that sort of resembles what he did in the shadows before.
The government of Venezuela, so how is the international community, you know, it seemed like they're very interested in presenting themselves as a legitimate government. And you know, they frequently refer to themselves as the legitimate government of Venezuela. So is that something that needs to be, you know, the way to approach them as questioning their legitimacy?
It's hard to tell. We do know that Venezuela is not a democracy. So saying that it's a legitimate government is difficult. I would say it's clearly not a democracy. The way that elections are conducted in Venezuela are not open and democratic. Nicolas Maduro bars candidate from running. He has a very tight control of the electoral system. So we have to wait and see what happens in July 2024, but my expectation is not very positive.
Is the United States able to recover any of these illicitly obtained assets or funds that Alex Saab was able to, you know, obtain through corruption because he was storing them in offshore accounts?
Well, I'm not sure about taking back full accounts, but we do know that when Alex Saab was in pretrial hearings in Miami, there was a new development on the case that caught us by surprise somehow, is that Alex Saab, while he was doing this around 2018, while he was getting this business from Maduro, he was actually cooperating and being helpful to the DEA. So he was signed as a cooperator.
So he was an informant for the DEA.
Yeah.
All right. So that was a huge twist in the story.
Yeah. And that was a huge moment. I'm spoiling it. I hope you see the film, because it's also very telling, because when we found out that FAB cooperate with the DEA and other law enforcement agencies, you see that he shared information about the bribes that he paid, his connections to government officials. But also, he gave back money to the U.S. government related to those bribes. $10 to $12 million, I believe, that he gave back. So, yes, the long answer to your question is yes. He has given back money to the U.S. in the context of his cooperation.
All right, so when we come back from the break, we're going to continue more talking about this great new reveal that Alex Saab, who was this person who was pursued by Interpol, an internationally accused criminal, suddenly it's revealed that he is basically a double agent for the DEA. If you have any questions or comments about Venezuela and this documentary, give us a call. A Dangerous Assignment: Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela, 833-877-8255. Source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Tonight on PBS Frontline, a new documentary airs, A Dangerous Assignment: Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. We're joined by the director of this documentary, Juan Ravel. He is from Venezuela, and he is telling us more about this latest twist in this story about Alex Saab, who was the businessman, the alleged criminal connected to Maduro's Venezuela, and he was his bag man, and he stole at least $350 million from the government, according to the U.S. government. So what does that mean? Okay, suddenly, boom, we get this reveal in these court documents. The judge says you need to make this public, and he was a DEA informant. So was narcotics also part of his bag of tricks?
Well, the reason from the reporting that we understand that the DEA was involved is that they started investigating Alex Saab's partner, Alvaro Pulido. Alvaro Pulido is the partner Alex have had for all his business dealings. And Alvaro Pulido, that's not his real name. His real name is called Herman Rubio. And Herman Rubio in the past was a known drug lord in Bogota cartel. So Saab's partner in the past was a drug lord. He changed his name to Alvaro Pulido and then became Saab's business partner. So from our understanding, the DEA started investigating Pulido, and they connected him to Saab because he was a known drug dealer in the 90s. So that's my understanding of why the DEA is involved. We don't have any proof that Alex Saab was dealing with drugs. So that's the explanation.
But you have to wonder, Maduro, he probably didn't know this either, and he gets word that the guy that he's been defending, the guy that he's been holding up as this great hero of Venezuela, has been talking to the DEA and telling secrets about the government and how they do things, how they move money around. Why does he continue? I don't know if you can only tell me what you suspect or what you think, but why would he continue to hold him up as this great hero of Venezuela?
Well, it's hard to tell. I think Saab has something that Maduro really needs, and he's willing to let that go. It's hard to tell if Maduro knew that Saab was talking with the DEA. Saab's lawyers denied that Maduro didn't know. They said that everything that Saab did, Maduro was up to date. But Maduro has never mentioned this subject. This is something that he's talked extensively about Saab. He's had him on his podcast, and several occasions and together in national media since his return, but about they don't talk about this one, you know? So we don't know if Maduro was using him. Maybe Saab was just using the DA to get information. Maybe he was feeding some of the information, but not everything. But also, you have to see at the context on the moment where Saab is dealing with the DA is when Venezuela was on the brink of a possible regime change. And he was supposed to turn himself in 2019, but that attempt to throw off Maduro failed, so he didn't turn himself in. I mean, this is a correlation in chronology. I wouldn't say that that's exactly the reason, but maybe the reason that Saab was talking to the DA just was to cover himself and maybe have another option in case things fall within the Maduro government.
In the documentary, one of the storylines is how Saab was involved in the bribery and buying of opposition politicians who were people who were opposed to Maduro, who were fighting for legitimate democratic reforms. And then he was able to, divide them and break that opposition by bribing off some. And you have incredible video of these politicians going on a shopping spree in Europe, flashing huge wads of money, celebrating all of the bribes that they got from this. And so people may have wondered, like, what happened to the opportunity to have a regime change in Venezuela? And they say, well, you know, here's part of your answer. Greed and corruption again strikes.
Exactly. Corruption money serves the powerful and serves those who held power. And that corruption money in Venezuela also helped create chaos in the opposition. And that sad business money ended up in the hands of some opposition lawmakers that ended up helping Maduro in many ways. There are some things that are more up to date that you don't see in the film. Those opposition lawmakers related to Saab or connected to Saab have helped the Maduro regime in the present. For example, Maria Corina Machado, the presidential candidate who's barred from running. But one of the reasons she's barred from running is because one of these lawmakers did something in the Constitutional Court to basically help bar her. So it came from within the quote-unquote ranks of the opposition. That's how Maduro wants to frame it, you know? So they've been helpful, and it serves their interest.
So what do you think, you know, we had a caller ask you this sort of, but I want to go back to it and maybe we can get a better. What does the future look like for Venezuela?
It's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. I think Maduro is in a tough position right now because, yeah, he barred candidate Maria Corina Machado. She's unable to run, but the opposition came together to support a sort of placeholder candidate, an unknown person, Edmundo González, who is the candidate for the opposition. I think to Maduro's calculations, he might not expect that this unknown character is getting very popular in Venezuela. So Maduro now is faced with the decision of barring another candidate from running and have his election for himself, or just letting him run and decide what to do on the day of the election. The thing is, if there's a very large vote against Maduro, you know, even if you cheat, people know what happened. So I think Maduro is in a tricky situation right now.
So when we have Maduro's government, you know, very aggressively providing misinformation and propaganda to distort the facts about the country and its problems and Alex Saab and all this other corruption, the only response really that's out there to this misinformation is, Roberto Denise and his reporting with Amando Info. I mean, that's like the only thing out there that is providing facts to these bots and fake accounts on social media.
Yes, I'd say there are some other outlets in Venezuela who do journalism and independent journalism and are current and cover breaking news, but for sure nobody covers the inner workings and the corruptions and the bad dealings in such detail and professionalism like the people are Armando Info, that's for sure.
But the reporters in general, the journalism that is being done by folks you mentioned and Armando Info, that's the response. I mean, being able to provide some sort of support to these journalists like you're doing with this documentary, shining a light on them, helping elevate the status of Roberto Denise with this coverage. I mean, that is a big help in trying to bring pressure to Venezuela and pressure to the people who could bring pressure to Venezuela as well.
Yes, by raising Roberto's profile, we hope that happens. We can also expect backlash that like the one we have received in the last week, but we do expect that, you know, you ask Roberto about this and he says, I that's my duty as a journalist. My duty as a journalist to report the facts. So I'm not on a journey. This is not a vengeance thing. This is just me reporting on what's happening.
Yeah, but still, when you have families who are starving and then they get a box of food from the government and they said, this is good for you, and you eat it, and it's, you know, the kids get sick because the milk is not milk. It's some rice water mixture and other products are tainted. I mean, it's, you know, people are crying out for, like, you know, why is this happening and what is going on, and why can't why is it so hard for a government to actually provide the services that they say they're going to provide? I mean, in the reporting to get to the bottom of it that Roberto did is, you know, that's what journalism is all about.
Yeah, exactly. He does a good job of informing people what was happening. It was a well-known issue with the food, even before they reported. But the great thing about that investigation is that it gives you the detail, the specifics of what this type of foods were actually, and they take them to a lab, they test them. So it's like bringing rigor and science into something that people were talking about already. So it's an important step into knowing the truth, which is the only way a society and our country can get out of this crisis. You need to know the truth, you need to know the facts, and that way it's the only way to make good decisions.
Juan Ravel is the documentary director of A Dangerous Assignment: Uncovering Corruption in Maduro's Venezuela. It airs tonight on PBS, KLRN in San Antonio at 9 o'clock. And Juan, thank you so much for talking to us today. We appreciate that.
No, thank you very much. It was a very insightful and conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day. And that's it for The Source. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.